what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Will Koontz back here with you. What's good, your boy? I hope you're well. I'm good. I actually saw the Shins. We're using the Shins as psych-up music just before the program starts. I actually got to see them this past Saturday at Janus Live here in downtown St. Petersburg. Big ups to Kyle Fink from Inoculus for hooking it up with a ticket. Every once in a while, I don't like asking for those things, you know, asking for handouts and freebies, but everybody was going to this show. Everybody I talked to, I was like, hey, you want to go grab a beer? I'm going to the Shin show. I can't. Everybody. And I was like, oh, my God, I just need to get a ticket. Of course, they're sold out. So I tried to ask a few other peeps, and nothing. I can't help you. Can't help you. And then just kind of put it out there on Facebook to my Facebook friends. And freaking Kyle Fink came through, man, in a clutch with a ticket. So big ups to him. Check out Inoculus Band, rocking Miami down there. He was in town, I guess, just for the show. So big ups to Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. I love you very much. I like you more than a friend, sir. So this week on the program, we have Rebecca Pulley. Rebecca is a musician, singer-songwriter from the Tampa Bay area. She's been performing here for a long time, and she's actually one of the few musicians that, like, makes her living off her music. So that's freaking cool. And wanted to talk to her for a long time. I met her down at Cage, where she does her open mic on Mondays, Cage Brewing here from 7 to 11 on Mondays. And she said, yeah, I'll come do your stupid thing. I said, oh, thanks, Rebecca. And here she is. She just came into my house, and we recorded this thing. That's how we do it here, you know. If you want to keep up with these happenings, and why wouldn't you want to? Just follow the Facebook page, just facebook.com/HMB Radio, and follow Radio St. Pete while you're there, too. Why not? Just Radio St. Pete on Facebook. And on Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at home_made_man. And Radio St. Pete, Radio St. Pete. It's just as easy as that, just STPETE. So before we get started today, I do want to say thank you very much to Truvy Salon and Spa and Chrissy Parker for sponsoring this podcast here. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Make an appointment, 727-329-9751. Great gal, does excellent work. I did get my hair trimmed for the first time in years a few weeks ago by her. She did a great job. So I think they do Botox. They do the whole lineup there. So Truvy is spelled T-R-U-V as in Victor, Y, salonandspa.com. You can put that in the Google box, and you can find their website and all their info. Please go see her. You won't be disappointed. And, of course, to my friends at Tap House 61, formerly Sly Bar, no longer. They are now Tap House 61. And you can find them still at the same place, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. They have more taps, bigger beer list. It's just a better all-around venue now. I mean, it was great before. It was the hometown bar. But it's new and improved. More taps, longer bar, more space. So check it out. 2061 Central Avenue, taphouse61.com. Check it out. Like their Facebook page. All that groovy stuff. And I still got stickers if you want some. And why wouldn't you? They're free. I'll even ship them to you. If you're in the world, I'll ship them to you. Just email me your mailing address to thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. You can leave a voicemail or a text if you want. That's how fancy we are here. 813-693-2124. If you missed any of that, just go to hmbradio.com. I got a contact page there. I got a listen page. You know, that's the place to go for everything HMB Radio. And am I forgetting anything else? I think I am, but, you know, that happens sometimes. And then you just have to move on and move on with your life or your podcast or whatever you're doing. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts, HMB Radio Tampa Bay. Leave a quick review, 5 stars. It only takes a minute. Really, really, really helps me out. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to Radio St. Pete and the Homemade Broadcast this week. Let's talk to Rebecca Pulley. Rebecca, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Just a cold intro.
Am I talking
intro
loud
there
enough?
Yes, that's pretty good. Maybe we could put it down just a little bit. Talk normally, just how okay you normally talk, yeah. Should have warned you, I guess, about that. Well, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Very, very good. Thank you.
Appreciate you taking the time to do this little program here all about St. Petersburg.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
So tell me, for people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and like a short bio and...
Well, I'm a musician, performing since 2000 for quite a while. I play the guitar mostly. When I play out, I play the guitar because other instruments, I'm lazy and I don't want to carry the other ones. but I'm a songwriter, so I play original music when I do play out. I always play original music. And I've recorded 5 CDs, and I'm working on a new one. So,
like full lengths, or does that include full-length EPs?
All full length. Technically, I've recorded 6, but the first one was, I didn't like it at all. The production, it just sounded very, very bad, and I didn't make any copies of it. So that one doesn't really count, but I spent a year working on it, so I guess I should say that I...
Did you ever put that one out, like, online, nothing?
No.
I like those really rough cut, especially if it's an artist I really like. Like, do you know who Conor Oberst is?
Yeah, I love Conor Oberst.
I'm a big fan of his. And, like, the ones from when he was a kid that he recorded on a tape deck.
Yeah,
I love them.
Yeah, but it's like, I love that, too. This isn't like that.
Maybe you're just being hard on yourself, though.
No, I don't think I mean, I can be hard on myself, but I think I'm being realistic. It's just not good. The songs aren't terrible. I didn't know what I was doing. I just started playing out. I didn't know any other musicians, and I wanted like a full band on it, which was a huge mistake because I'd never played with a band before, and ended up getting like a electronic drum kit, which just it sounds like bad to
me. I got
me.
You like cheesy kind of,
yeah,
just
it's
with
like
that drum sound.
It's like that boom boom, boom, like, yeah, it's just
like the metronome sound on the keyboard.
Well, it was a real drummer playing on electric drums, and
right,
I just
right
hate how electric drums sound.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for all the digital people out there. I just hate them.
I think they've come, you know, technology's gotten better, but they still just can't get that real, you know, full sound.
Yeah. So it just, I can hear the difference. So.
So what other instruments do you play? You play guitar out, but.
I play that, and probably the one I play the second most is the piano, and I write a lot on the guitar and the piano. And I also can play the banjo and the mandolin and a ukulele, working on an accordion, getting to where I can play that out with other people if someone needs an accordion. The bass. I have organ. I have drum set at the house, a real drum set. I can play, like, all those things.
Yeah.
Like, not super great, the drums, like, maybe not in front of people, but I can, like, put on a record,
kind
and play
along
to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, drums are kind of like it's almost like you have to dance when you play drums. It's more movement than actual, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're dancing with your fingers, I guess, with a guitar, but you got your whole body involved with drums.
I love it. I love it.
Okay. Yeah, it's a cool. I wish I could play. My grandmother wanted me to play. She wanted to get me a fiddle.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't want to do that. That's dumb. And then I, of course, picked up a guitar because that's what cool people play, is guitars. And then I got certain amount of good out of that, but then just stopped. Because I think, is that something that you, did you have to like take lessons, or did you just automatically just take to music?
I just took to music. I just did. And you know what, too? I lived all in the middle of nowhere a lot of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when I did get bored and didn't want to play anymore, got bored with an instrument, I never took lessons, but I would just go back and do it, because when you live in the middle of nowhere and there is nothing to do,
right,
you'll end up going back and playing the instrument. Just
yeah, you can't go to the bar. There's no bars or something. Just,
well, I was a kid, play. Too. Like, oh, yeah. I wasn't old enough to go out and drink anyway.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
But, you know, I mean, it was that or, like, go fishing or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, and it's 30 degrees outside. I don't want to go fit, you know.
Sure, yeah. So, yeah. Where'd you grow up?
Well, I lived pretty much half of my life in Alaska and half it in Texas. So.
Oh, okay. Those are kind of really different. Kind of a lot of similarities, yeah. Though, too, right?
Yeah, they're kind of like both places that we lived, they weren't in cities for the most part, but open, where, you know, just big open places, country people mentality stuff in both those places, you know? I don't know. If
yeah.
I don't want to.
No, I got you. It's kind of like, you know, you get out of this, you're off the coast, you know, you're kind of living in the big wide open of the States, and then the big, big wild open of Alaska. That's totally different.
Yeah.
That's like not even, I don't even consider Alaska, like it should be its own thing, I think, really. It shouldn't be part of the United States. It should just be Alaska, and they should just have their own thing.
Well, you know, they call it, in Alaska, the lower 48. That's what they call the rest of the United
States. So they kind of do consider themselves kind of
independent. Well, it's so remote. I mean, it's so remote. You have to go through Canada or go across part of the ocean to get to the lower 48.
That's right.
But it's, I mean, it's different now. I think there's so much more tourism and stuff up there and there's still a lot of very remote places that people live and have been there all their lives with that, you know, very independent mentality and things like that, but there's still a lot of people from the lower 48 have kind of infiltrated the coastal areas, I think.
Right.
You know.
Is it, I heard that Alaska is something like 3-1 men to women. Is that true?
I've heard that too. I mean, I don't know. I do know that my mother was a burlesque dancer in the 50s.
Oh, okay.
And she was sent up there by an agent because she was raised in Los Angeles. So I know that they had a lot of that situation. They would send dancers and stuff up there because it was heavily at that
probably
time.
Probably loggers and
people working with oil and the lumber industry and the fishing industry and things like that. It was mostly all male dominated work related fields. Yeah. So she, you know, she was sent up there.
I guess she stayed up there and then had you, I'm assuming.
Yeah, she stayed up there. She met my father, my father was from Texas. That's why I have a Texas-Alaska thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a musician. He wasn't, later he did lumber and all that other stuff, too, when he was in Alaska. But he was a musician, and he was touring up the West Coast with his band at the time. This was in the 50s, playing country western, rockabilly-style stuff. And they met Kodiak Island there, off the coast of Anchorage, close to that in southern Alaska. But that's where they met, and then they did some traveling, started having some kids and stuff, and just back and forth between Alaska and Texas a lot. So
you weren't, like, in Alaska for 15 years and then Texas for years? It was kind of just back and forth?
You could probably say I was in each place. I moved here when I was 17, and say 16 of those years, you could say probably 7 of them were spent in Alaska and 7 of them in Texas, not consecutively.
I see.
And then there was little bits of where I lived in Washington State, and Canada for a little bit. So
was it a thing where you were just taking road trips constantly, driving from Texas to Alaska?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I know.
That must have been painful. And what? Like one of those classic, you know, station wagon type deals?
You know, and before I remember, there's a couple of pictures of really cool old-looking red station wagon. It's down in Galveston, and it's like me and I have 9 brothers and sisters. And
The
ones that were born so far, standing on the beach, you know, next to it. And we traveled in that for a bit. when I was seven, we were living, one of the only times we lived in a town in Alaska, we were living in Anchorage, and the house burned down. But we had just before that, I guess, I don't know how or where, but my parents had bought a little 20-foot Winnebago motorhome. And when the house burned down, we just kind of moved into that. And pretty much from the time I was seven, we just spent all of that time in that Winnebago traveling. Before that, it was the red. It was the red station wagon.
So you're pretty much living in a car, really, on the road. You were really in Texas or Alaska.
Yeah. That's why it's really hard to explain. So usually, I was just saw my brother the other day. He was down here. He's a truck driver now. And we had this conversation, and we're like, what do you say when people ask where you're from? And if they ask more, we have to get into the whole story. It's very complicated. But usually we're just like, pretty much half in Texas, half Alaska. We grew up there.
Well, it's fascinating.
And he says the same thing.
I mean, how did you do school and stuff like that?
We didn't. I mean, I was never in the same school for a year, an entire year. I didn't graduate from high school. I actually, in Texas, when I was in starting in 10th grade, somewhere a couple months I'd been in there. I guess that's a long story that I don't want to get too involved in, but really religious East Texas and that Bible Belt down there. And I had my head shaved, you know, starting 10th grade. I was going through that phase of a lot of kids that age, you know, my head was shaved, sure. Yeah, spiked up and dye colors and wearing clothes, homemade clothes, you know, like plaid and black, mm-hmm. and you know, all that stuff.
Were you kind of like in a punk scene, I guess?
Yeah, you know, and so I was like, it was like, I think my way of rebelling from moving so much, it was just, you know, I didn't fit in anywhere. And so I tried to make, you know, I tried to go out of my way to not fit in.
Right.
But in this little tiny Texas town, I got called into the counselor's office. And I wish I knew her name so I could write her a horrible letter every year. This woman. And she was like, she said, you know, we can't find the records of the schools you've been in, and you're just pretty much going to have to start over in middle school. And I was going into 10th grade, and I wasn't a dumb kid. I got like straight A's. Even if I go into a school in the middle of nothing, I just am really quick at learning things.
Yeah.
You know, and, but she was like, you know, we can't learn anything. We can't find your records, and it's just going to take too long for you to go back and get all those classes. And I really think you should just quit school at this point and go get your GED.
Jeez.
I was like, and, you know, as a kid, I didn't know. And I was like, all right, I'll quit school. And in retrospect, though, she was just, it was real Jesus town, and the kids, all the girls there, they wore like the Wrangler blue jeans and what they call Roper cowboy boots. And
yeah.
You know, the Chuck Taylor
sure.
shoes, like everybody had the different colors.
Great look. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that there, but there were the Roper cowboy boots, and all the girls would have them in different colors, so the Chuck Taylor shoes. It was that and like a nice button-up blouse or something, and that's what everybody wore. And it was just, and you would hear, like, I would walk down the school hall, people would be like, devil worshiper, devil worshiper, and I'm like, what? I'm like, I go to church every Sunday, too, with my mom and dad make me go.
I don't want to, but yeah. Rebecca Pulley's here. She's a singer-songwriter from the area. You know, I wonder with stuff like that when people are, I'm finding the older that I get is that people really aren't necessarily mean, that they're dumb.
They're just, ignorant. That's why I said that country mentality, and I was like, I hope that didn't come out mean.
But maybe,
you know what I mean, though. It's
I gotcha, yeah.
Not very worldly.
Yes. And also, maybe she's just having a bad day. I had a woman do this to me, too. I tried to apply for the FSU film school, or was interested in it anyways. And I called up and talked to the lady, and she says, well, you need, you know, all these requirements that I did not have because I was just, you know, getting out of St. Petersburg College with my AA, so I didn't know what to do next. And talked to her on the phone, and she was just like, you know, you need a portfolio with 3 hours of film credentials, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh. And then she goes, you know, honestly, I wouldn't even bother. It's, you know.
Yeah, fuck. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to cut. You can edit that out.
Yeah.
You know what I want to do? Those people need to go find a new job. That is not their job. Those counselors are not to tell us, once we've decided we want to do something, it's their job to support us and help us find how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not their job to talk us out of doing something we want to do and be like, you know what, just go into business. I think everyone should take business. Everybody go into business or whatever.
I really think, that woman was having a bad day.
And you know, well,
I caught her on a bad time.
Maybe you did, but it's no excuse. It's like, I have bad days all the time. And people come up to me at shows, and I'm having a really bad day. And I am not rude to them, unless, you know, they're very, which has never happened. If someone came up and was mean to me, I'd be mad. But if someone comes up, sometimes I don't want to talk to someone. I'm tired. I don't feel good or something. But I'm never, you know, that's your job. Your job is your job. If you're not happy at your job and you're miserable and you're spreading your misery around, find another job. Don't ruin everybody else in it.
My point being that you're going to have a bad day in another job, too. I think it's also up to us not to maybe take it so seriously. And to still, we have to, our own biggest hurdle in life is ourselves. And, you know, when you have just somebody who doesn't matter, this lady didn't matter. She's just some woman on the phone at FSU.
Right.
She's nobody to me. We forget what she said. You should still do it anyways.
Well, this is, you're talking to a 15, 14, 15 year old,
right,
very sensitive artist, influential girl, and you're telling her to quit school.
Yeah.
And not get an education, basically. And so that conversation altered the rest of my life. I never got an education, so I never had anything to fall back on. I still don't. Which, you know, I did, eventually I went and got my GED and went and got degrees in school and stuff. It was a lot of years later, and I just did it just because.
Just to have it, yeah.
Yeah, but by that time I was established as a songwriter, musician and stuff. But, you know, it's just, you alter someone at that age, you alter the rest of their life.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty young too. I get you. Yeah, you're now, I guess maybe now if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, yeah. Yeah, you kind of go about your day.
Yeah, if someone said that to me now, I would be like, you know,
yeah.
I would cuss at them very loudly and angrily. But when you're that young and you're a counselor, a school counselor, a guidance counselor, you trust their advice, and, you know, and it impacts the rest of your life. There's just some people that should not be in the jobs that they have influencing people on the levels that they're able to influence them at.
Yeah, I hear you.
Presidentially, for example.
Yeah, you're right, especially that young. So when you decided, okay, well, I guess I won't go to school anymore, how did you go about doing that? Did you have to hide that from your folks, or, I mean?
No, neither of them had, I didn't have anybody like fighting in my defense because neither of them had graduated. They didn't even get to ninth grade.
Oh, so they're like, yeah, that's normal.
They didn't know anything either. I mean, my dad was a musician. My mother was a burlesque dancer and then just a mother. And, you know, she worked odd jobs, both of them, after they quit doing that. It was always part-time odd jobs. We were very, very poor. Very, very, very poor. And it was kind of the custom of our family. Once you got to a certain grade, actually no one in my family graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. I have nine brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Once you got to a certain age in our family, you kind of just quit school and got a job and helped out. That was the thing that you did. That's why I that's what I'm saying, that counselor. I thought it would have been so much more important for her, instead of being judgmental and listening to what was going on in the school, she probably should have reached out to my family or learned a little bit more about what's going on in my life and maybe tried to guide me in a different direction.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, she's probably dead now.
Well,
so.
She probably is.
Yeah, it's always that positive note to think about. So you came to Florida when you were 17?
Yeah, I was like 17 or so.
And then was it St. Petersburg or?
Yeah, I moved right. Well, I moved initially to Madeira Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived there with this guy for a couple years, and then, you know, we just broke up, and then I moved into St. Petersburg, and I've been living here ever since. So I made a lot of really awesome friends, some musicians and artists, and I just watched this town, St. Petersburg, crazy grow.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, there was maybe one bar, two bars in St. Pete to play music at or go listen to a band. Art galleries, I mean, that was like, the Dolly was here when it was run down, and I mean, there was like a few touristy things, But I've just, it's crazy. I've watched this town just grow, and it's amazing. It's just way amazing, like the way it's grown artistically, and I love it. Like, I love seeing all these murals all over the place and all these art galleries and the Arts Warehouse District and all the live music everywhere. I think it's so cool. I just think it's so neat.
Yeah, I mean, I've been here. I mean, I'm from Largo, which is just right up the road. So, I mean, I grew up there, but I moved down here like 7 years ago or so, and even in that 7 years, it's changed dramatically, and every day there's something new, something new. What do you think is it about St. Petersburg that kind of draws out this, the artists and creators?
You know, I don't know. I know that I like to say that my generation of artists and musicians and the ones just previous to me, I feel like we took it from, like, maybe it was, we were, this Tampa Bay was kind of the metal scene, metal capital of the world.
Yeah, Tampa,
literally.
Yep.
Like, I would hear people come there and say that. And then there was a generation of artists, the generation of mine and just before me, because I'm 46 now, and we stopped them. I don't have anything against metal. There's still a huge metal scene here. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. I go out, I have friends that are in bands that are doing that, and punk, and I love it. But there's another, other layers of music and art started happening. And it kind of just evolved from there. It was just a natural evolution. I mean, I don't know why.
Do you think it kind of maybe bleached off the metal scene then? Maybe they, you know, Tampa was kind of the hub, and then it kind of, you know, you had this just such a huge focal point of where this genre came from, that it kind of bleeded out?
It's possible. I honestly don't know why. I just know kind of when it happened and watched it happen. But I don't know why. And in St. Petersburg, it's like over to Tampa, there's a lot of cool stuff over there, but it's just different over here. And for one thing, St. Pete is more isolated. Like, we can't, we keep spreading up in Pinellas County, like, that's not St. Pete, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but Tampa is just so very spread out,
extremely
spread out. And St. Pete, you know, we're just a little isolated peninsula here. So we're, instead of like spreading out and expanding, we're kind of just growing into ourselves, kind of like vines or something,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it, I think. So, you can't like be, a kid here in St. Pete, artist, and be like, I want to go paint a mural on a thing and drive to the other side of town and be in a remote area, because you're still going to be close to downtown St. Pete and your mural everybody's going to see. You know what I'm saying? Like, or whatever, go play a gig or something. You're going to be here. It's a small town still.
You know what? I'm wondering if it has to do with transplants coming here. Because when I'm thinking about the murals, the first one I remember seeing was Sebastian Coolidge's one on the freshly squeezed store.
Oh, that's true.
And I remember he told me about that. He's from Kansas City originally.
There's a lot of people here from other places.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's, you have this mixture, melting pot of culture from all these other cities that kind of turn it into this special thing. I wonder if that has something to do with it.
Probably, I'm sure it has something. It must have something to do with it, you know? I mean, definitely. I've met artists from all over the country and other places in the world that have come here to live, you know, and they like, it's kind of tropical and watery, you know, and it's kind of inexpensive to live here too.
It was. It's not so much anymore, but it was at one point.
But, so I don't remember what we were talking about. I started daydreaming about
Well, we were talking about how St. Pete became this cool little hipster town that it was. And I know everybody has a different theory on it. Every time I start to think about it again, I come up with something new. But I'm sure it's the same. I mean, I know there's a lot of cool cities out there, but it just seems like all of a sudden it's exponentially been growing.
It just happens. It's so interesting how it happens. I think there's definitely people that influence it. There's people that are in an area that are strong figures. And, I mean, I've watched the actions of just a couple people bring about some really big artistic change in the community, you know. So sometimes it's just a couple individuals, and then things blossom from there. So that's part of it too.
Yeah, I think, you know, traditionally artists and creative types aren't necessarily the most confident either. And then when you finally get somebody that has the cojones to finally do something, and I'm going to paint a mural on this building, I'll just do it for free. And then everybody goes, whoa, look at that. That's awesome. And then I would like, I wouldn't do that as well. Can I? Yeah, sure. You know, I've got to give it a shot. And now it's bustled into this, you know, utopia almost of art down here, you know, and now you got other genres. You got musicians too that are doing the same thing that are breaking out. I know a lot of guys are playing in bands, are touring in Mexico now, and it's just really cool to see.
It is cool. It's really neat. It's not something that's, it shouldn't be feasible, and it wasn't for a long time because we're so removed from, as if you're in a band, if you're a musician in a band or solo or whatever, and you do like to tour, it's, you have to go so far to even start your tour.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, getting out, right.
You have to drive like all the way to like Jacksonville or Atlanta or something, you know, just, you're like, finally, oh my God, I'm on the first day of my tour.
Yeah.
First show, and I had to drive a day to get there or whatever, you know, it's like, it, a lot of times, like, you can live in, on the up and down the East Coast and just, you know, just constantly drive up and down the East Coast and just never stop playing shows.
Right. You can play in New York and then play in Philadelphia in three hours.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
So it's like we're just kind of out of the way a little bit here.
Yeah.
And so that's another reason that maybe the art has grown, because we are isolated and
it's
gotten its own voice, even though, like you said, there's outside influences. So, you know, I know I did watch the music scene here grow, like I said, with the different sort of genres and stuff. And there was a around this time that they had this thing called BAMO. It was the Bay Area Arts and Music Organization that started, maybe a decade or so ago. Maybe 8 years or 10 years ago. I'm not really sure, but something like that. And it was basically this woman named Laura Kane, and a few other people, some of them associated with the WMNF, the community radio station. That's another thing. We have a strong community radio station, which has helped too, the local music, and they play local music. But, so they put out together this, Bay Area Arts and Music Organization called BAMO. And every year they would get a bunch of local artists from the Tampa Bay area, put a song of each of theirs on a CD, a compilation, mail it out all over the world to just tons and tons of radio stations. And then all these bands, then we play a few shows here, raise money, and then put on a big show out at South by Southwest in Austin. Mm-hmm. It's called a Fandango Band Tango. And, and then all those places and people they sent these recordings to became familiar with all these Florida, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay bands, then our music started being played all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would never happen. Like, I have my music on the European Americana charts and the top 10 charts.
Wow.
You know, for the last two or three CDs I've done, which would never have happened without that, with the BAMO. Because those DJs and different people, they would come to that Florida Band Dango show in Austin and hear all these Tampa Bay bands play, and they would have like Alligator Chili from Skipper's Hookhouse. It's all Florida, you know, themed, and they would have some Florida brewery beers. They would ask everybody to donate a keg of beer and bring it out there, and just stuff like that, you know.
Do they still do that?
No, they stopped doing it a few years ago. She stopped doing it. You know, it was a lot of work.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I mean, that I watched. I visually watched that happen, and just the music scene just from that one person. That's why I say there's sometimes just one person that's like, I'm gonna do this thing. I got this thing in my head. And then, you know, they work with some other people and make just crazy great stuff happen. And that's what I mean. There's like people like that. Now, the visual arts community, I'm not as versed in that, so I don't know as much about that. I know more about the music community, so, you know.
I'm sure it's the same thing. I mean, I know there's leaders in every sort of genre that kind of take the lead and, you know, whatever, help help out the younger people and, you know, bring them up. And
right.
It's the same thing anywhere else. But, it's just that one person who's just like, you know what, I'm going to do this. I know, like, Anna Serena, she does the Don't Stop Festival, which I think is a really great idea. We need to be doing more stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, drawing people here. So hopefully the city invests some, I don't know if money is the right thing, but at least publicity to it to get people here, bring it to a tourist attraction.
Absolutely. And the I know they tried a little bit and didn't really work out. They tried to do like some people I know, I don't know who all was responsible for it, but they try to do some like music festival things here. I can't remember what they would call them, but like, so downtown they would just, you had to buy a wristband and then all the bands would play like all day or all weekend or whatever it was, and then you go to all the venues. And I saw them try to do that, and it wasn't like huge, so
right.
To start right off. But like you said, that's something like if they keep doing it, you're not, you know, you got to keep
build momentum.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool because St. Pete on Central Avenue was a great spot for it. I mean, you can literally walk like 10 or 12 blocks and run across like 40 venues, 40 places to play music. Like you know, it's great.
Yeah, they did the Wig Fest. I remember that was the thing. That was on President's Day. I think they did like 2 years of that. I don't know if that's still going on.
I think that's one of them.
Yeah.
I don't either. I don't.
But see, you know, a lot of the places too are so small. A lot of the bars that they were playing in, it just couldn't accommodate the amount of people that wanted
to go.
No, you
should. Like when I was in Austin, that was some of the best venues to go to. Like at South by Southwest, like, 'cause I went there for several years. We would play our shows and stuff, but, you know, I would go out and see the shows, too. And they're crazy, huge, famous, big-name people playing in the tiniest record store, like, I've ever seen. Or playing at, like, this tiny, dinky little bar. And you're like, oh, this is the way I've always wanted to see this person play. You know, that's the way a lot of these festivals are. And they're like, that people take that experience away, you know.
Right.
Like, wow, that was great. They don't have to be these huge venues. That's what people are mistaken. They have this mistaken idea of that, where a lot of times people love this intimacy and it's like a special thing. Like, you know, people are like trying desperately, like, oh my God, what are you doing? And people all be talking about it. Well, I don't know. It's going to be hard to get into it, but I want to go see this act over here at this time. I know it's going to be a small thing. You got to get there early, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it's cool. It's fun.
Yeah. Rebecca Pulley's here. She's a singer-songwriter. You know, with South by Southwest, too, it's almost kind of like some people know it as a film festival, not even
absolutely,
a music
no,
thing
that's
or
true.
A comedy
It's everything, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And I hope that we can kind of do something like that here, because
there's would be
people doing
awesome.
Every sort of art form here that really should be showcased. I think music's the biggest one, just because I don't know what it is. Like, I've run comedy shows, you know, in the past, and I still do from time to time. But you can't talk and drink at a comedy. I mean, you can drink. We encourage you to do that. But you can't, like, chat with your buddy.
I know,
with music, you can kind of yell and still listen, but it's a different type of thing.
Depending on the music, like, I prefer people not to yell and talk when I sing.
Right, I'm sure. So what is, let's talk about your music in the last few minutes here. What would you kind of describe, you know, your music as?
It's just, you know, I'm a singer-songwriter, so it's basically the stuff, it's based lyrically based. I try to be a good writer. I want to be a good writer. It's like, that's my biggest thing that I worry about, that I'm not good enough as a writer.
Is there a difference between a poet and a lyricist?
One of them has music to it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's stance and prose with poets.
Yeah, and I haven't studied all that. I just like a really well... I love, like, it's just when somebody, I hear a line in a song and it's like 8 or 12 words and but it means so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. It's so deep. And I don't mean like everything has to be beer if it's so profound and deep, but I love the condensed story. I love a little condensed. It's like a little condensed can of soup.
Sure. Yeah, you dump some water and some guitar.
Yeah,
and go,
you know.
You know, it's,
I like that.
It's funny, too, with lyrics, because I can appreciate that. Like, Conor Oberst, one of my favorite musicians, and he's, you know, I guess
he's
described...
I love his lyrics.
...as emo growing up, and he's kind of evolved as he got older. But then I also, like, as I'm getting older, I'm liking some country music that I never thought I would ever be into. And it's just about drinking beers and hanging out with your buddy. But it's just fun. It kind of puts you in a good mood. So I'm finding, I don't know if it's just because I'm opening my eyes to more things or if it's just maybe I've experienced more things. So I'm nostalgic about drinking beers with my buddies until 5 a.m. You know?
Who knows?
I don't know.
I'm not real, I shouldn't say in general because I don't listen to enough of it to really know. I'm not big on country, modern country music. I just don't care for it, but I love that old, mm-hmm. like the old stuff. Like, that's what's great. I can get into that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all really sad. That's emo music too. I mean, most of it is like, you know, lost my dog's dead, it died, and I'm drunk, my woman's gone. I mean, it's really sad stuff, the older stuff. I found a Kenny Rogers tape.
Well, some of it's gorgeous.
Oh, it is.
Some of it's gorgeous, like, absolutely. Little Willie Nelson stuff, yeah, like, sure. And some of it's sad, mm-hmm. like, that Poncho and Lefty, like, that's gorgeous, and, like, he wrote some stuff that Patsy Cline did that's amazing, and, like, Hank Williams was great, like, I love all that old stuff, and they were great songwriters, like they wrote great songs, and it was simple too, the instrumentation, the arrangements, and it was just good. Now it's like, oh, all everything's overproduced and sounds really hokey and corny.
That's just music and,
I say modern music in general I don't like, but I don't listen to it, so I shouldn't say that. I don't know that much about it, to be honest. So.
I think last year actually was the first year that new music did not outsell old music. So people were buying more old music than new music.
Well, there's so much more old music around than new music, if you think about it.
I think Vivaldi or something was the number one album, too.
I love Vivaldi.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it... I don't know if people are just getting sick of it. Well, now, I think with the internet, too, you don't really need to be told what to buy. So the record companies that put together these bands and throw these people out there, like... You know, they have control of the radio, but most people don't even listen to the radio for music anymore too much. You have Pandora,
That's very true, and it's sad because I love the community radio station, mm-hmm. But it's really sad. I think they're going through a pretty rough time because of that, but, I mean, even I don't listen to the radio that much. Like, I listen to so many, like, podcasts. I listen to a ton of podcasts,
yep.
And I listen to most of my music that I download and I stream it, and, you know, like... I want
to do radio. I have a romantic vision of radio, but I don't listen to the radio, really.
I don't know anybody. Like, I mean, I get in the car, and I have, like, two stations that I only ever go to, which is 88.5 here in Tampa or the 89.7. That's it. And I'll turn it, and if one of them are playing something I'm interested in, I'm like, okay, I'll listen to it. Otherwise, I'll turn it off and listen to something on my, like, I can stream the whole universe on my phone.
Yes.
Which is insane.
I know. It's awesome, yeah, but it's great, too, at the same time. The only thing is I worry, well, I guess, like, YouTube, there are YouTube stars, so I guess it's still possible, but I was listening to an Adam Carolla interview, and somebody asked him, how do you make a podcast that people want to listen to, that, you know, people will find? He goes, well, you know, it's pretty easy. The first step is to be famous. And it's like,
that's
thanks.
Pretty hard. That's harder.
That's really hard to
that
do.
That sounds like the hardest step.
Yes, that's like step, you know, 10 for me. You know, I don't even want to be famous. I just want to have a podcast I could survive off of and live off of. But yeah, I mean, there's you can have anybody that you like at the touch of your fingers. You don't have to go through the, you know, next hour we'll have. Rebecca Pulley on, you can hear her up in an hour. I gotta wait an hour for this?
Yeah,
instead,
right.
I can find
Nobody
my thing.
But,
oh, she was on this podcast. I can just listen to her on here.
Anytime.
Yeah.
The content should be interesting, of course. Like, I listen to, like, My Favorite Murder. Because, first of all, I love those two chicks. They're great. And, I love hearing these crazy murder stories. I know. I'm not a morbid person. I'm just like, I can't believe people are out in the world doing this, you know?
Right. Well, I think you got a point because I think finding a niche, finding, or is that it is, niche or niche?
It depends on what country, part of the country you're in.
I think I go with niche, but niche is fine too. But if you can find something that a lot of people like that is something condensed that maybe people wouldn't create content for, that would be something really, I don't know what that is. But if I knew, I would be doing it.
Just strike on an idea. One day it'll just hit you.
Well, I mean, mine is kind of like it's focused on Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm talking to people who are in the area. So if you live in Tampa Bay, this might interest you. That's kind of what I'm going after here. But, you know, like I've heard people say, I'd like to do a podcast about tattoos. There's probably so many tattoo podcasts, but if you could just switch it up a little bit and add something to it just to make it a little different, that would be a great idea.
Tattoos that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Like just, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Just anything to make it like, I wouldn't, if somebody was just a tattoo that I'd be like, scroll past, that didn't work out, I'd be like, oh, what? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you'd be like, okay, I want to hear about that.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the, I'm really into that now, thinking about the old media and how it's corporately controlled is really losing ground to common folk on the internet that are producing content that people like.
It's, yeah.
Justin Bieber became, you know, they picked him out because they found him on YouTube. He was already making money on YouTube by himself at 14, you know? I mean, and people have tried to copy that success. But, I mean, you know, there's only one Justin Bieber, I guess.
Yeah.
He can't be. But, I mean, it's possible. So that's why I really like these independent content creators that are just kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah. I think everybody, we all have in us the desire to be sort of independent. And we can't really go out and explore new worlds and new lands anymore. Like, everything's been settled. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
We still have that sort of exploratory nature to us as human beings.
Sure.
And wandering, and I think that's a natural progression for us to do something like this.
Yeah, you know? Kind of sparking the individual entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And going your own way, yeah.
Yeah.
So are you playing anywhere here around town?
Yeah, I'm playing. I looked on my phone, which has all the
you
information.
Did. You came prepared. I like that.
And I'm playing the 30th of this month. Which month? What month is this?
This is May. May 2017.
Oh, thank you. I just did my taxes today, by the way. That was just really embarrassing. So, May 20th in Clearwater at a place called the 1933 Pub, which, I mean, it's really hard to remember all this stuff. And then the next thing is that here in St. Petersburg at the Hideaway Cafe on May 26th. And I'm playing that show with, like, my band is playing, my full band, and Michael Miller, and I feel so bad I don't have the other person, Christopher James.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
So we'll all be there on the 26th at the Hideaway. But I have it on my website. It's listed on there. People, I can go find it.
Yeah, what's your website?
It's just myname.com.
Yeah, you have an interesting, it's not the classic Rebecca.
It's not literally myname.com. That would be funny. People are like, I don't see anything here.
But
M-Y-N-A-M-E.
How do you spell your first name, though? Because
it's the old Hebrew spelling. I didn't pick it. It's R-E-B-E-K-A-H.
Yeah.
And then Pulley, like the simple machine, P-U-L-L-E-Y. So it's just RebeccaPulley.com. Anybody can spell my name wrong and put it in, Rebecca Pulley, and spell
Google
it wrong.
It
you know, Google smart. It'll figure it out.
Yeah. And what about Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah, I got
that?
All that stuff. You know, I'm really bad at keeping up with all of it. It's myself, but I try to. I'm current with it, but I don't post like 1,000 pictures on Instagram like some people I know.
Yeah.
Like, here's a picture of a cup. Here's a picture of a table. Oh, look. I will take a picture of us and put it on Instagram, though.
Oh, cool.
Okay,
yeah, for sure. Let's do that. Okay. We're both going to do that. Rebecca, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, folks. There you go, Rebecca Pulley. Thank you very much for coming in. Make sure you check her out at Cage Brewing every Monday for her open mic that she hosts, 7 to 11 p.m. Cage Brewing, located at 2001 First Avenue South here in St. Petersburg. We're going to leave you this week with Rebecca Pulley, the lesser of two evils. Thanks for listening to Homemade Broadcast, folks. HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. See you next week. Will Coons. Later.